whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young.
Wait, hold on. I want to do this right. You just start singing and I'm going to follow your body.
And we are
here to rant and rave. You paused. I watched your mouth pause. What a mess.
You guys were never going to be in sync until we're back in person.
Until we're back in person.
And who knows when that will be or if we'll have our bubble suits in time. But for now, you're just going to have to pretend that we are singing in harmony in reality, but digitally, it's just not catching up to us.
Right. And you may joke about bubble suits, but I'll tell you what, we get our groceries delivered by Instacart. And the girl that does it, that brought us last time, full biohazard suit.
Oh. I was like,
good for you, girl. Okay. Full biohazard suit, mask, everything. Like, you know, she had a little window she could see through, dropped off our stuff, waved, and was on her way. I was good for you, girl. She's making money and being safe.
Yep. That's good. I've been noticing the drivers in our area for the most part. I've seen people be very cautious and they're wearing gloves and a mask and they... And then they're standing like a good distance away and give a wave when they see someone come to the door and they zoom away.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
I'm very grateful for them that way.
Of course.
I don't have to find myself a biohazard suit that fits this spider body.
Oh, God. Spider body.
Let's see. I guess I should tell people how to get a hold of us because, guys, we're still here. We're still here, you everybody. And we want to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Rants and Raves Podcast. You can straight up email us at the Rants and Raves Podcast at gmail.com. We have a Twitter if you want to look at it or use it at Raves underscore the.
Yes.
Oh, we did it. Yes. Is that the only ways? Is that all we got? I covered all the bases.
And then through the website, the contact button. Most of you either DM us on social media.
Yeah.
Instagram usually or a direct email. But anyway is fine.
Get a hold of us, guys. Tell us something. Tell us, like, I have a question for you, Jessica.
Okay.
How was your week?
It was really good, Dana. I got in a lot of rage walks and I am feeling good.
You know what I love about your rage walks right now? If you don't follow Jessica personally on social media, it's at Jess YB Young. Is that right?
Jess B.
B. Young. Young. YB Young. Just
Jess
your name,
B.
Dana.
Jess B. Young 1975.
Yes. Well, what I love about what you've been doing is how you're taking everything in your neighborhood.
Oh, you know it, girl. Now, I will say, because it's usually me raging about something that is rant worthy. That's for, you know what? I could have had our rants for the last 8 weeks just from my rage walks. In all seriousness, folks, really, if you're not getting outside, I will preach to you. And I'm begging you to get outside, even if it's literally for 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Spring is in full effect in Los Angeles. Finally, we had a very rainy, cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
The flowers that are in bloom right now are
beautiful.
Nothing short. It's beyond. My whole neighborhood is filled with poppies.
Mm-hmm.
A million different spring wildflowers like azaleas from my home state and everything else. But we have rose gardens galore in my neighborhood, like old growth rose bushes everywhere, colors that I've never seen. And I stop and smell them like I've never. I mean, I put my nose right up in there. I'm surprised I haven't been stung by something yet.
Like a murder hornet. You got to watch out for those murder hornets now.
I was waiting. I knew that you would be one of the first people that knew about that. How horrifying are those? And do you see the mandibles, which are compared to spiked shark fins?
Yeah, I did something terrible for my brain, which is not surprising, but I did cut it short because I was like, you can't handle this. So TMZ posted a video.
What?
Someone sent into them of one of those things catching a mouse.
I'm sorry, what?
It bit that mouse twice and I was out. I couldn't. They are huge, Jessica.
I saw one on scientist's shirt.
Uh-uh.
It was so long that I didn't want to see any other pictures.
No, I couldn't watch that video because I was like, that's what that thing would do to me.
I know that every creature apparently has some sort of function.
Not that.
Just to be eaten by something else. But what's horrifying about this is, A, I'm sorry, I hate hornets and I hate wasps. All they do is sting, okay?
Well, my wasps don't. We have a deal, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had it. I know it sounds insane, but I've had a deal with the wasps on my porch for 3 years now.
I saw the size of one of those nests and I almost fell over.
I know, but they do not bother me. I have a deal with them. Now, the first time some sucker goes rogue, they're all in trouble. They're all in trouble. But for now, they're all minding their business, mm-hmm. minding the rules, and we get along fine.
Okay.
But I have no interest in making a deal with the devil, which is murder hornets.
Well,
I think there's a plague upon us right now. We are in the middle of a pandemic. We had a locust issue. We're having food shortages, and now there are murder hornets. Lord Jesus, take my soul.
Listen,
it is the end times.
As a Jew who just celebrated Passover last month, and Passover was, in fact, Jesus's Last Supper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the plagues of Passover seem to be coming to fruition now.
It's insane.
I guess we've also gone through the boil plague because, as we know, I had a cyst removed. I hope that we don't have dead bovines next. That's all I'm telling you.
Or rivers of blood. Come on now.
Oh my God. What if the LA River turned to blood?
I mean, at this point, would any of us be shocked at this point? We'd be like, well, okay.
No. I'm mad about these hornets though, because a beekeeper in Washington State went out to check on his hives. And
they're destroying them.
Hundreds and hundreds of honeybees all decapitated.
Uh-huh. You know why? They go in there, they decapitate every one of them,
and take
the thorax to their babies to eat.
I can't.
Yes.
It's so barbaric.
Okay. So I follow on Instagram. Oh, this is a fun thing you guys can follow on Instagram. I'm always shouting out different things. It's History Cool Kids, I think, is the one I found it on.
Yes, you talked about it.
Yes, your husband actually follows it. So I saw that he had liked a picture last night, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is random. I don't frequently message your husband. Occasionally I do.
He gets very excited when you do. Dana, send me a message about History Cool Kids. I'm like, okay, nerd.
That's exactly why I messaged him and not you. But they had this post about apparently, oh gosh, I'm going to get the date wrong because I've read so many things. I want to say 1874. That cannot be right. Anyway, I'll have to look it up. I'll share it with you. There was apparently a gypsy moth, which now is not a nice term, but we shouldn't be calling people gypsies, but a gypsy moth pandemic. So they were killing all of the hardwood trees here. They were not indigenous to America. They were brought in by scientists and some got out, and they were killing all the hardwood trees they thought they were going to be a good alternative to silkworms.
Wow.
And they were not. But I was saying to your husband, to Alan, like, isn't it crazy how something so big that really, really harshly affected people for a significant amount of time, I've never even heard of.
Same.
Isn't that insane?
No,
I told your husband, I was like, I feel like our version of that right now is probably going to be murder hornets. But your husband said, Alan said, I'm not scared of them. I'm not worried about them.
You know what? He says that now, but I will tell you, this reminded me of a few years ago when we were on the subway system in Toronto. there were signs everywhere. And like, you know how they have like the things that they change out, the placards or whatever frequently. It's either advertising or things going on. I don't even know where public transit runs in the country these days, but I'm sure it's laden with stuff about COVID, for instance. And
probably,
when we were in Toronto a few summers ago, I was like, okay, I'm a little creeped out because it's everywhere, but only in the subway. It's like, if you didn't ride the subway, would you know this is happening? There was a non-native species of carp, as in the type of fish.
Oh, yeah. Was it the flying ones? Or is that just here?
I don't think it was the flying ones, but it was from the other side of the world. It was a type of carp that is found in parts of Asia only. That just like all the geniuses that get pets they shouldn't have and decided to release them in the wild. These carps were either escaping or coming through food supply. We don't know. I don't think anyone knows. But they were now in the Great Lakes system. And they were predatory and could take out a lot of the native species to North America because this is something that belongs on another continent.
Yep, we have a problem like that here in America with a certain type of Asian fish. They are the ones that jump out of the water and into people's boats, but they're a massive hazard to natural habitats.
Yeah, those flying fish are no joke.
Yep, they're not indigenous to America, and they are destroying natural habitats.
Why don't we get all the people that have caused the native, non-native things to come here, the people that bought them, and or illegally sell and trade them, why don't we put them together in a quarantine of their own in a zoo, if you will, you know, just like the Tiger King.
Tiger King, a roadside zoo.
Let's put them all in the zoo with the murder hornets and the flying carp. And then they can take care of it and they can live off of the food from the fish. They can become pescatarians.
Okay.
And then we'll solve the problem.
All right. Well done and done. Thank you.
So stupid.
I feel like we haven't even announced rants yet, but I feel like we're already there. You're already breathing hard, Jessica.
I know. Please pardon my breathing, everybody.
Well, should we go ahead and slide into rants then? Because you brought something kind of fun for today.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, so in the spirit of rants, everybody, and for those of you who are just joining us and are new to the show, we always rant at the beginning of our show, and we have just been trying to stay away from certain rants.
Yeah.
Most of the rants that are coming up these days are COVID-related, and we have enough of that surrounding us.
We have plenty of COVID-related information, and we're just trying to help people maybe get a little bit of smile and enjoy the journey as much as we can.
Exactly. So, everyone, I would like to introduce some questions to Dana, or some statements to Dana, regarding things that make people uncomfortable. And they're definitely rant-worthy. So we'll get a little of that in there.
Great.
Okay. First thing is, when people watch you while you're doing something, are you normally really good at typing? Oh, wait, someone's now peering over your shoulder watching you. How good are you now?
I can't do anything if you're watching me.
Isn't it the worst?
Did I tell you or somebody else about I was doing something and Dan Tipton was standing there and he had brought me a pencil or something and he just stood there and I go, hi. He goes, oh, hi. And I go, you don't have to watch me. Like I couldn't function with him just watching me. I was doing something completely frivolous. I think I was like drawing somebody a stupid card and I was like, no need to stay. Thank you.
I love your honesty. I do that too sometimes, Alan, and they're just being sweet. And I'm like,
of course.
I usually, God, I'm not as nice as you. I either say, what?
Yeah.
Or I give a glare and I say, can I help you? Do you need something? And he's like, I was just coming in to say hi. Bye.
Oh, God.
With his eyes bugging out of his head.
Aww.
Poor thing.
God. But you know what? Maybe he could have made it better instead of like, I love how I'm turning it on Alan.
It's fine.
He could have said, you know what? I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to tell you you're beautiful. and I appreciate all that you do.
Do you know what? He really is a sweetheart, and he tells me, even if it's like right before we go to bed, he's like, thank you for everything, or I love, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm not dismissing that. It means,
well, good for you. I'm just kidding.
Admittedly, I'm kind of, I mean, he has been out of work now during the quarantine, but not because of quarantine, because of
right,
surgery. Right,
because he had surgery, yeah.
And I have not been, so I am not a nice person. If somebody knocks on our front door, if I hear a horn honk, if my husband opens the door to our bedroom, which is his right, but I am using it as my recording studio and my workspace, I am not the nicest person.
Well, we can't always be nice. Sorry, we're human.
We can't.
What are you going to do?
I hate when people watch me do this. I used to hate it when I worked in a store and customers would literally sometimes have the audacity to walk around the cash wrap.
What?
And literally stand there staring at me wrap their gift. And it gave me such anxiety.
No.
I can't tell you. And I'd have to be like, no. Do you mind standing over there? Like, I just couldn't help myself. I'm yeah. like, you got to go. I need you to stand over there.
Yeah, that's so, a good one. Don't be watching me. Don't be standing over me.
Okay. When two people are whispering to each other in your direct vicinity.
That mean girl shit is unacceptable. And I will call you out on it so fast. I have literally been like, I'm sorry, did you have something you wanted to say? You were looking at me. Like, I've done that to people. Yep. I'm like, if you're going to, you clearly want me to know that you're talking about me. It's an intimidation thing.
Yes.
And if you got the balls to be like, I'm talking about you, then you better grow them big enough to say it to my face. My tongue is a machete and you best back up. I'm not joking. Like, I'm the same way, Jessica. I would say, generally speaking, on a day-to-day basis, you and I are both very kind people.
Yes.
But when I am tripped, there is a lever that goes off that says everything that's been bothering you gets to come out now. Uh-huh. Yep. Here's your reason to get it all out. So if you're going to come at me with your face, you best come with your mouth too, because we're going to throw down. I can't handle that. That is the most cowardly, dumb bullcrap.
You know what? I love that you compared your tongue to a machete. That gives a whole new meaning to a tongue lashing.
Oh. Yes! That is the meanest thing about me. I may not be physically intimidating, but ooh. You whip that tongue out, you're in trouble.
I love it. How rude is it for people to do that? And also,
they want you to know.
I mean, there's been a few people along the way in this life that have also been talking either through their teeth or they think because they're speaking in another language. And yeah, I don't speak your language. I'm also an idiot.
No, we know what El Stupido means.
Uh-huh.
I had two guys do that to me once, and I looked at them and I went, I know what I did was stupid, but I understand El Stupido. Because I had dropped a little miniature at a little store and broke it, and they were like,
no.
Yeah.
And they called you stupid?
Stupido. Uh-huh.
No, excuse me, no.
It's like, that's basically the same word we use. You're not being secret.
When people are talking about you in another language through gritted teeth while smiling the whole time, we know you're talking about us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not. But the thing is, they want you to know. They just don't have the balls to do it flat out to you. You know? And in that case, I say, go away. Go back home. Crawl into your little hole and shut the door. You fear baby. Because... if you can't just be bold face to face, you don't get the privilege of expressing yourself. Go home.
Fear, baby. Oh, God, you are killing me. These are, you know what? These rants are making me laugh.
These are good.
It's really making me feel good.
Let's do one more.
Okay, let me find one more doozy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Using the toilet right after someone else and the seat is vaguely warm.
No, I can't handle it. You know why? Because the seat is vaguely warm and also whatever kind of breeze comes up from the toilet is kind of warm. And also, you're sitting in a stew of their urine smell. Whatever their particular, whatever their particular brand is, you're warmly soaking in it.
Urine. We should be so lucky.
Oh gosh.
I hope you're not sitting down so long to make the seat warm from a pee, because then maybe you need to go to the doctor. I hate warm seats as it is. I hate you. If you put a seat warmer on in your vehicle without asking my permission, you are going to feel my wrath like you had no idea was possible.
I'm glad you told me that, because I have seat heaters and they go on at night, period.
Don't ever do it while I'm in your car.
Period, point blank, they go on.
I also hated it when I was once staying at an amazing, it was for work. I felt like I was in the female version of The Hangover. I stayed in a Sky Suite at the Aria in Las Vegas.
Oh, geez.
And it was like this gore. I had my own room in the suite. The bathroom was bigger than my master bedroom at home. Okay. It was all marble. It was ice cold, just like I like it.
Yes.
And then I sat down on that toilet and have never been so enraged in my life.
It was a heated toilet?
It felt like a hot tub. That's how hot it was. It was a heated toilet seat. And homie, don't play that. I don't appreciate it.
I know.
I hate it. And I don't approve of it ever. Not now. I don't care if I lived in Siberia. I would not accept a heated toilet seat. From a human or not, I also hate it at work when we have to switch around desks sometimes. And I'm sure people don't like sitting in my hot ass area. Ugh. But if I sit down and the fabric on the seat's warm, I'm
I am pretty positive I've offended people in bathrooms before, because I will choose to go far, far away from them when they walk out of a thing instead of if I'm next in line, instead of taking theirs. I'm sure they're like, what does she think? I'm disgusting. I'm like, kind of, yes. Sorry. Anybody that's not me or my child kind of is disgusting to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you make a great point there. Look, especially if it's your own kid, you're fine with it. Look, even from friends' kids, I've had bugs on me.
Bugs,
friends' kids' diapers,
yeah,
and accidents and all that. With a child, somehow we let it go,
yeah,
and I'm not revolted by it. If that was an adult, I would full on puke on whoever the person is that did that.
Yeah, I don't want you to have to sit on my warm either. Like, it goes both ways.
Sit on my warm. So gross.
I think we need a cleansing breath.
Totally.
So Jessica and I, this feels like back to a little bit normal. We really got some angsties out.
Totally.
We're going to take a deep breath in, and then we're going to blow out all the bad and fill up with some goodness, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Take a deep breath in. And
that was nice.
That was very nice.
That was very, very, very
I've never watched myself do that before. I do praise hands. Do I
praise
always
hands?
Yeah, do I always do that? I put my
hands. No, you don't. Here. You did this time and I love it.
I needed some praise. I needed some blessings.
Hey, I want to give some praise to you right now.
For what?
Because of something that you did for me and some other people I know, and you really inspired me to get on track with a list I'd been staring at before all this crap happened. Dana made me a little care package and dropped it off in person, and I got to see her face, which I didn't realize because I was kind of emotional afterwards. And Alan said, oh my God, I just realized, is that the first time you've seen her in like almost 2 months?
2 months.
I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah. I know.
Like, we see and each other on Zoom, but.
Right. But I told Dan Tipton too, I said, it hurt my heart because I wanted to hug them.
Yes.
Before I left, especially like when Alan, you know, he had to go inside because he was hurting and because he's just now starting to walk. And I haven't seen him in longer than that.
I know.
And he's been going through so much. And I was like, I just wanted to hug them both and I couldn't.
Know. It was so weird. But you are. So sweet, and it totally, totally, totally made my week. Like, thank you.
Aww, so much. You're welcome. It was very fun. I was glad to put that together. Really. It was nothing big. That's the thing too. I want to say to people, it's the smallest things that really do matter. Because you know, you're being thought of. So like, literally I just made you some homemade crafts.
No, it was amazing. And I love it. And I love that you included an activity sheet, which I'm going to do this week when I have time. So because I love that and I miss that. And I have a million markers. I'm going to color in that peacock.
Yay. I'm so glad.
I love it. I
picked it out just for you.
It's great.
Yeah, when I send people cards, I like to send a little extra something in there for Amazing. Them specifically. So I found that in a book and I tried to neatly tear it out so that I could send it to you.
It was perfect. Thank you.
You're Seriously. Welcome. It makes me feel good. I probably get more from doing it than you guys do receiving the crap that I send, but it's fun.
No, I think it's equal. It makes you feel good as the sender. And then whoever, Dana and I were talking about this earlier. Who doesn't love receiving mail?
Yeah, I mean, I love
certain
it.
Kinds of mail.
Not a bill.
Yes, anything that's not a bill or something to scare you or to try to put something else in your face that you don't need or you're not interested in or didn't sign up for, which I get a barrage of on a daily basis.
All the time. I don't want awnings.
Ugh. Okay. So, yes, if you're wondering what you can do or you feel helpless with people, send anyone, a friend, family, loved ones, a little note, even if it literally just says, "Hey, Sue, I miss
just
you.
Thinking about
Love
you,
Joe."
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. I've sent cards before that literally just say, "I was just thinking about you and wanted you to know. Love, Dana." That's it.
See, I got a little too complicated with some that I wrote, and I have one that I feel like is so awkward in what I wrote that I need to write my friend a letter and say, "I think I had a momentary lapse of judgment trying to be all prolific. And I should have just said, I miss you terribly and I love you." And instead I botched this really weird thing and it got weirder. And then I didn't have white out. And it was a gorgeous card. And I should have just scrapped the card, but I couldn't.
Why did it get weird?
I was trying to write something different to her than I did to a previous person.
Sure.
Kind of had the same sentiment for both of them. And I just really effed it up. And I mean bad. I should have taken a picture of it.
I wish you had.
Oh, wait, God.
Maybe when, your
so
friend,
awkward.
Maybe when your friend gets it, you should have your friend read it. Record, read it, and send it to us.
No, I don't want anyone to hear it.
I've never seen your head shake so fast.
I'm really disappointed in myself.
Oh, stop it.
You I am.
Something lovely, Jessica. Mm-mm.
It was really... Yep, I did it too. I sent my nephew a card. It was just his birthday, and so I sent him a card, and I sent him some little like temporary tattoos.
Oh, that's my favorite. I've been sending some of those too.
I started writing, and it got all weird, and I wrote the word "for." We've been looking for, and I didn't have room to write "forward." So I'm like, "We've been looking for the videos of you doing activity." It went into another dimension.
But when you run out of room, you can use a hyphen and then put the rest of the word.
I know. I just should have said, "Hi, Gabe. I miss you. Love, Auntie Jess." That's what I should have done. Okay. Not try to give a five-year-old a meaningful card in COVID when all he's going to care about is those tattoos, and rightfully so.
Yeah. But someday when he's old and he inherits some package from his parents, he'll be like, "Oh my God, what is this weird letter I got?" Hilarious. Oh, he's definitely not going to read it right now.
No, he is not.
All right. Well, let's get into our corners. Thank you for bringing those uncomfortable things. They really got me going.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like I just worked out. My heart rate went up. I'm up first for corners. I brought a what?
Yes. Okay.
This, you guys are going to be like, absolutely, Dana would choose this article. This also is not a shocker. It did come from Oddity Central, which is my fave. I can't help it. Politician locks people in haunted house for breaking COVID-19 quarantine rules. Before I read this, let me tell you, if you want to stop me from doing something, threaten me by having to spend the night in a haunted house. I will straighten up real quick. Okay. fed up with the people constant. Oh, this is, yeah, this is by Spooky. Okay. Fed up with the people constantly neglecting self-isolation and quarantine rules, a local politician in Indonesia's Java Island decided to lock rule breakers in a haunted house to set an example for others. I'm going to butcher this person's name. Kustinar Untung Yuni Sukawadi, the head of the Sragen Regency. I know I messed all that up. Apologies.
Where is this?
Indonesia.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was in the U.S. I'm like, no. What state's governor is doing this? I need their number.
I know, right?
Go on.
So this person came up with the idea of tapping into the locals' fear of ghosts as a way to deal with an influx of newcomers in the area. Because of lockdowns in the capital, Jakarta, and other major cities, Sragen has started seeing quite a lot of people coming in, many of whom completely disregard the rule to self-isolate themselves for 14 days. Shame on them. In case they're infected with the novel coronavirus. To make sure people started respecting the rules, started putting offenders in abandoned houses locals believe are haunted. So I read a little bit more. Yeah. First of all, I'll send you a picture. It's terrifying. I don't care.
Of course it is.
If it's haunted, also terrifying. If it's not, guarantee you there's some yucky things living in there. Some of them might be human. Some of them might not. I don't know. I don't want to be there. But how amazing is that? He's like, oh, yeah, you don't want to follow the rules? Cool. You spend the night with demons.
I don't understand. Are they like arrested and there's authorities outside making sure they do not leave the premises of
said haunted? Yeah, they have to spend 24 hours in there.
My God. Huh? It's either that or a haircut like George Costanza. Take your pick.
Do you know that I saw a kid on TikTok that did that to himself?
Stop it.
For fun. He thought it was hilarious.
even after the fact?
He was laughing. And oh, he had grown out. He was so young. It had to have been a fake mustache or he has hirsute problems. Isn't that what you call him?
Yep.
Okay. Because it was a real thick mustache. So he had this thick mustache and a bald top head where you could tell he had shaved it.
No.
And he was just giggling like a little school kid. That was funny.
Like a little demon from a haunted house.
Anyway, that's what I brought for my corner. I think that's amazing.
That is amazing.
You don't follow the rules, you die.
Look, I find it a bit refreshing that people, at least in some places, are going to have some consequences. I don't believe in torturing people. No. I don't believe in things that are horrific or violent or anything like that. I also believe, and I'll move right into my corner, if you don't comply, you gon' pay for it in some way, I hope. And if it means you get the shit scared out of you, then so be it.
That's right.
Okay.
You walk around in those poo-poo panties all night. That's what you get.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Okay. This is a coroner, which is very apropos, considering America's favorite pastime has become puzzles.
Dan Tipton already did like a 5,000-piece one on the train table.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That big of a puzzle?
Huge. Big, yeah.
I have to admit, I mean, I like puzzles. I don't know how many decades it's been since I've touched one.
Yeah.
And we don't own any, but I've been kind of jealous seeing people do it because that would be a fun activity to kind of zone out at night.
I don't know. Would it?
Maybe not. I'm grasping for straws these days, as you know.
I'm not that into it. I don't hate them. You know what puzzles are to me? Just Legos. They're just Legos.
Yeah.
I went to Lego World or Land or what's that place?
Legoland.
I took my son there and my nephews one time and I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much I just don't like Legos.
Hilarious. Well, you know what? Also, it's not that certain toys I think are just toys, right? Doesn't matter if a kid's boy, girl, whatever. I think that's like that for a lot of things. And if girls want to play with G.I. Joe, great. Boys want to play with Barbie, great. But I do think it's kind of cool that everything with Legos was kind of centered towards boys.
But not anymore.
Now they have full on by the brand Legos that are geared towards girls. A lot of people I know that have little girls are like, look, what my kid did today. She was so excited at that, like, you know, maybe it's a veterinarian's office or it's of a cartoon and stuff that girls follow instead of it all being the stuff that boys typically follow.
Or robots. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. Also, I just real quick, I hijacked your corner. I'm sorry, but I think we talked about this, or I sent it to you, that Mattel is releasing Real Heroes dolls.
You did not say it here. We talked about it. Please bring that up because it's amazing. Yeah,
they're making dolls, like little action figure dolls for kids that are doctors, nurses, essential workers.
First responders.
Yeah, all the people who really, truly, truly are our heroes right now. Yep. They're making toys for the kids that are in honor of our heroes. And I think it's really cool.
I love it. And I believe $5 from every toy is going to
help COVID research. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's another very worthy cause.
Yes. Sorry, I hijacked you.
Not at all. Not at all. Okay. So quickly with this corner on the puzzle tip, you're going to need a bigger house. Okay. Trying to use that.
Really good pun.
Jaws.
Jessica, I'm sorry. This is from my favorite, Oddity Central. This is
from Dana's favorite author ever, Spooky.
Spooky. This is not some stupid pun from what's his name. What's his name that David I always complain Moyer. About?
David Moyer.
Shoot.
Legendary photography company Kodak recently launched a gigantic jigsaw puzzle made up of 51,300 pieces and measuring a whopping 28.5 feet by 6.25 feet.
That's insane.
Excuse me. If you've gone through all your jigsaw puzzles and are looking for a real challenge, Kodak just released what it calls the world's largest puzzle, featuring images of iconic landmarks shot by professional photographers. By putting your patience and jigsaw solving skills to the test will cost you both real money and a lot of space, as Kodak's behemoth will set you back, between $409 and $599, and will probably take up a decent sized room when completed.
A decent?
I said to Dana, is this for the hallway of your mansion? Right. 28.5 feet?
Decent sized room.
I mean, if you laid out a dance floor on a football field, invite me. I'll come work on the puzzle.
Right. There would be nowhere for a normal person to put that up.
There really wouldn't.
No.
I miss Kodak. I'm glad to know they're doing something, because Kodak, the old photo site, which was 1,000 times better than any of the other current sites and far more user-friendly, has been gone for years. And you know me, I love to hold on to things, including grudges, and I can't seem to let this one go.
Well, I was going to say the price for as big as it is isn't really that outrageous if you have that kind of money. If you're like...
And then it'll cost another $3,000 to frame it more.
Definitely more, I think, right?
Kidding. Nobody needs to frame that unless you need a piece of art for that hallway in your mansion, then I'm here for it. And I can suggest the matting and the frame color for you if you'd like.
Yeah. Or maybe you need some art for your airplane hanger. Or Jessica, maybe you're like Drake and you're worth over $150 million and you have this Swedish mattress that only super rich people can afford. Can you see that?
I'm here for, God.
It looks like a tufted
pillow of velvet.
And also like a suitcase for some reason.
I was going to say... housed in a nice checkers game storage case.
Yeah, he has a 50,000 square foot mansion in Toronto.
Uh-huh, on the bridal path, I know. Yeah. I'm not a stalker. It sounds like you are.
It's a handmade masterpiece. Oh, but it doesn't say how much it costs. But anyway, it does.
I'm going to say $30,000.
No, please guess again, ma'am. Much higher.
$60,000?
No, ma'am. Please keep going way, way higher.
$150,000.
No. Would you like to continue? Because you're not close. $390,000.
Stop
this ultra exclusive mattress costs as much as a house.
Is it done in the old style of American furniture making with an 8-way hand tie? And instead of silkworms, did they use the gypsy moth?
I'm going to stop you. No, probably not. And why do you know that?
I bet.
Is it done in the old style of furniture making where...
I love you so much.
Did they get the silk from a gypsy moth?
No, because that didn't work out well, as the poor dying trees found out. There were men up in the tip-top tiniest branches of these giant trees, and your husband was like, I wouldn't get up in that tree. I know that.
No. I wouldn't either. I'm petrified of heights.
I just want you to know before we move on from corners and get into our raves, because I think we both have great raves today. We have great raves every week. Mm-hmm. It's not because of us. But anyway, I just want you to know, I want you to either just appreciate or maybe even outright thank me for not bringing the story that I wanted to bring about the two college girls who put their foot shavings in their roommate's Parmesan cheese that they hated.
Absolutely not okay. Even to someone that I hate with a passion, biological. I would not do that. It's biological
warfare. Biological assault, for sure. It's so
they should go to jail. They should go to jail.
I didn't bring it, but I still wanted to mention it. All right.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy on my soul.
It's so horrible. Like, you are building up some bad, racking up bad karma doing something so like gross. That. It's so nasty. All right. So is it okay if I go first on raves?
Do it.
Okay. So my rave this week, I actually didn't share it with you, Jessica, because I kind of wanted to see your reaction because I love it so very much. I got this from, we mention all the time, Inspire More. I love them so much. You can sign up for free emails from them. This is by Beverly L. Jenkins, one of their writers, and it was actually posted on the 30th. So this is very recent. And also, just in case you don't know, Jessica and I are actually recording today and releasing tonight. So we're very up to date.
Very timely.
Yes. As the world grapples with the novel coronavirus pandemic, teachers are always being asked to step up in more ways than one. For sure. Love our teachers. Much love to all of you. Thank you. Not only have educators had to drop everything and convert their lessons to online format, they've also been tasked with caring for their students' emotional health. Luciana Machado Lira of Connecticut recently went above and beyond for one family in need, and her story is so powerful, it's enough to bring tears to our eyes. Get ready, Jessica. Luciana is a bilingual educator who specializes in English as a second language. Her friend, fellow teacher Joy Collin, recently shared how Luciana responded when she received a troubling phone call from the mother of one of her 7-year-old students. Quote, she told Luciana she was going into labor and had no one else she could call. Joy wrote on Facebook, she asked if Luciana would call her husband, who does not speak English, then asked Luciana if she could come to the hospital. She had just been diagnosed with COVID-19 and she was about to deliver.
Oh,
the brave mom and educator didn't hesitate to rush over. When she arrived, she helped them communicate with the hospital staff. She also spoke with her student's stepfather, who thought he would probably test positive for the novel coronavirus and was terrified to get his newborn sick. Then he asked my friend to take the baby home with her until the test results came back. Of course, Luciana said yes. Look at this, Jessica.
Oh, God, I love her.
She's a school teacher with that baby, carrying that baby home. Even though Luciana hardly knew this family, she came through for them and possibly saved a child's life. The rest of their test results came back positive a week later. But thanks to Luciana's stunning act of kindness, they're able to recover without worrying about their baby's health. Joy concluded the heartwarming story with these powerful words. Essential workers are out there working every day. We're all at home working and groping for understanding of this new normal that caught us all off guard. But this unselfish act reminds us that our humanity makes us all essential to each other. How will each of us respond when we're asked to help by simply showing up? Luciana may not consider herself to be a hero, but we certainly do. The bond between teachers and their students is unbreakable, regardless of the circumstances. Here's her at home, cuddling that baby. Come on, a school teacher.
That makes me want to cry, but in the right way.
Like, I know. It's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. Louisiana, you are a hero in so many ways. She's got her own family, her own children, everything. They all were like, no, we got to help this baby. We have to help this family. And they did.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Again, we've said this so many times, but teachers are everyday heroes.
Absolutely. 100%.
I have teachers that certainly affected me throughout my life. I'm sure you did too. And I have friends who I know the burdens that they carry sometimes out of their concern for their students. Mm-hmm. They really care and they're thinking about them well after they're home at night and should be able to relax and worry about themselves and their own family. They're also worrying about their students because the teachers that care, the good ones that are out there, which I think the majority of them are good, they really care.
So much. I love that story. I think it's amazing.
So lovely. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. My rave really was a lovely surprise for Dana and I.
So nice.
It made us feel so good just in general. It was nice to hear from a listener and from something that is so great and it's close to my heart, and you'll hear why.
Yeah.
This comes to us from a listener. Hi, Jessica and Dana. I hope you are both surviving in quarantine. Maybe this rave isn't as worthy as most you share on the podcast, but I wanted to take a moment to rave about my coworkers. I work for the Parks and Recreation Department in Auburn, Alabama. War Eagle, Jessica. Mwah, ha, ha, ha. And just a quick aside for you guys to know, the biggest rivalry in the state of Alabama is between Auburn and my alma mater, the University of Alabama, which is Crimson Tide. So it's a massive rivalry. And I was crying laughing that she put that. I love it. And this is not someone I know, so it's even funnier.
I know.
As you can imagine, our jobs have become very strange since the onset of COVID-19. We are still required to report to the office every day since we are government workers, but all of our sports, programs, and events have been canceled, which is the sad state of affairs when your entire job revolves around planning events.
Right.
And you might not be able to do that again for a long, long time. Anyway, last October, we started doing a Saturday morning farmers market at one of our parks and people loved it. It was our plan to start it up again this May, but of course, it didn't look like that would happen. One of my coworkers came up with the idea to have a curbside farmers market, which would allow the community to place their orders ahead of time and come pick up the order from our offices on Saturday morning. The response was overwhelming. We thought we would have maybe 75 orders and ended up with 300 orders totaling more than $16,000.
So awesome.
I love it. We were so happy to be able to provide fresh produce to our citizens while simultaneously supporting our local farmers.
Yes.
So great. We quickly realized that this could not be a two-person operation like we initially thought. All of the department staff jumped in to help make it possible. The guys in charge of soccer and baseball stepped in to help fulfill orders and run them out to people's cars. It was pretty funny having to explain four different kinds of lettuce to someone who had probably never eaten a salad.
That's me.
People loved it so much that they are requesting we do this every weekend, even when we can go back to, quote, normal life. I know this probably doesn't seem like much, but all of this is to say that there are little things we can do to make the world a brighter place right now. And my coworkers really prove that to be true. At a time when
can I pause for just one second and say it is much.
Of course it is
much. What you're doing is incredible.
It's this huge. This is
exactly what we love raving about. You're amazing. Sorry I interrupted. Not at all.
It is. It's great. At a time when we're supposed to be staying away from each other, and we did, physically, I have actually ended up bonding with my coworkers even more, and I am so proud of our team. Anywho, I have attached some photos for your enjoyment. We were running out like chickens with our heads cut off, but hopefully you can't tell that from the pictures. Love you both, and thank you for continuing the podcast each week because we need all the laughter right now. And she said, P.S. Yes, working for Parks and Recreation is like the show.
I love it.
And then P.P.S. I am one of those people that says K. And then she wrote, sorry.
Sorry. Jessica doesn't like it. KK.
This is fantastic. Am I allowed to say people's name? I always don't know if we should be.
I think that's her decision. Do you think she didn't want people to know?
I don't know. We love you. Thank you for writing in. I don't know why I'm being such a weirdo. I always suddenly get all scared about people's privacy, but we're talking about something good.
Really good.
So to everybody that's working for Parks and Recs around the country, my uncle works for Parks and Recs in Florida. I understand the difficulty of what is going on with all of your jobs right now. Mm-hmm. So huge shout out to all of the workers there. And like Dana said, this is major. You are not only helping people get fresh food, you are helping people be contact free, and you are helping support local farmers, which is what people should be doing year round. Support your local farming communities. Oh my God.
Yes. I love it. I'm so glad that she wrote in. Don't ever judge yourselves and be like, well, this may not be big enough or important enough or whatever.
That's huge.
First of all, it's huge. And also, even if it wasn't, that's exactly what we want to do, is bring attention to, you know, organizations and people and actions that don't have massive media behind them, because it's inspiring and it deserves to be lauded and heard about just as much as any celebrity or financially driven organization who's able to do more. It's just as important, if not more. So
100%.
So thank you.
Even if it helps one person, we had somebody write in and we loved it and raved about it. She helped somebody that was, I think, going into like diabetic shock on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
If you help one person, you are helping humanity or an animal or whatever it is. So pat yourself on the back, or let us pat your back. This is major.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very, very much for what you guys are doing for your community.
Indeed.
Jessica.
Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
Can you tell everybody how to get a hold of us?
Yes, please follow us if you are not already on Facebook and Instagram at the Rants and Raves Podcast. That is at the Rants and Raves Podcast. On Twitter at raves_the. On our website, you can find us by hitting the contact button. That will send a message directly to us, www.therantsandravespodcast.com, or send us an old-fashioned email at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com.
Get in touch with us, guys. Indeed. We're all in this together. So let's try and find some goodness through it.
Yes.
So I like to usually end the show talking about giving something I'm interested in on the internet, something good I've watched. I think, did I tell you about the Martin Freeman movie that I watched, Cargo? That was great. Mm-hmm. This week, my new obsession became, and I felt guilty about it and told Jessica immediately that I think I've fallen in quarantine love with a woman.
Yes.
And her name is Taylor Pierce on Instagram. It's at Taylor_thatdancer. She's an incredible dancer, and she's just physically the most gorgeous human being I've ever seen. Beautiful. She's stunning. Anyway.
Before the dancing, I'm like, oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah. Stunning, stunning, and super talented. Anyway, that's Taylor Pierce on Instagram. That's not what I brought to share. I'm just obsessed. Anyway, for my weekly point to ponder, I wanted to just give you something. You know, we're all spending a lot of time alone. We're trying to lessen our screen time, some of us, everything. So here's something for you guys to think about. We'll be back next week. Jessica, I love you. You've had a bit of a rough week, and you are shining through it, lady. I just adore you.
I adore you. And thanks for rolling with the punches and dealing with the crazy schedule.
You're so worth it. So I'm going to leave y'all with this, just something to think about. A mouse can fit through a hole the size of a ballpoint pen. You're welcome. Sleep tight, everybody. We'll be back next week. Okay, bye. Jessica's staring at a pen. Bye.
Oh, my God.